You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Cheated, the inside story of the Astros scandal and colorful history of sign stealing, is a new book from Andrew Jackson Martino. That's not his actual name. That's just the one I chose to give him for this interview. Good evening, Andy. How are you?
Good evening, Christopher Archibald Carlin. How are you?
That's actually correct. So
I nailed it.
Well done. Nailed it. The bald part is at least correct, Andy. Listen.
Well done.
This is a heck of a book, and we're going to talk about this at length here shortly. I want to start, though, with the Yankees and what we heard from Brian Cashman yesterday, and get your initial impressions for what he had to say.
Well, I thought that the most interesting piece of that was the part, actually, all the papers kind of used the same quote where he was saying about Aaron Boone, we're all in this together, and I support my coaches. I thought the most revealing part of that was kind of his lead up to that sentence, which was, and I coincidentally have a notebook in front of me here in my office. This is Cashman. All this is coming from me and my comments. I can't speak for anyone above me because I have bosses. They obviously have their own thought processes, so I'm not speaking for anybody but the general manager of the New York Yankees. So what he basically seems to be saying there is, I can't really give the manager and coaches a full vote of confidence and be accurate because I have bosses. Now, he's been here so long that we've come to, I guess, assume that Brian Cashman wants a manager that's going to be the manager. And Brian Cashman wants anything in baseball operations, not anything, but, you know, within reason, he's probably going to get the benefit of the doubt from Hal Steinbrenner. So I just thought that the mentioning of his bosses was a reminder that things are going so poorly right now that I think it's probably just tense all around.
Or you could argue that he just absolved himself of any of the future issues that happen should they decide to fire Aaron Boone at this point.
I think it's, that's a good point, and I hadn't thought of it. I think it's getting a little, I don't want to overstate this, but I think that what I hear is that Hal is quite unhappy. People are aware of that, and a lot of pertinent, pointed questions are being asked. And so I'm just kind of watching the whole dynamic there, with interest. How about that?
If that's fair. That's fair. Andy, when you look at the Yankees, what's the biggest problem?
They're bad. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, they are, and they're kind of boring, too. Listen, bad and boring equals brutal, and it's amazing that we say that about a team that's two games over 500, but it's true.
It's hard to isolate one baseball reason. You know, it's really, like, I've thought about this quite a bit, as I'm sure you have. What's the freaking problem here? What is wrong? Why is this way? And we all know, like, the factors, base running, pitching injuries, blah, blah, blah. But I tend to think that there's something bigger going on. There's no way to prove this. It's not factual, but we've been watching this team closely all along. And it feels to me like there's a certain pressure that builds every year when they don't get to the World Series with this group. And they just, honestly, they seem to be having so much less fun and be even less outwardly cohesive as they were in 2019. It just, like, if you looked at the difference between the Yankees and the Red Sox dugout in that weekend series, you know, one team believed in itself and was having fun, and one team didn't look like they were. Now, one team was winning and one team was losing. It can be easy to misinterpret that, obviously. But I just wonder if it's getting a little stale and something kind of fundamental needs to change, or some kind of fire needs to be lit to I'm not going to call it complacency, just almost like lighten up the vibe a little bit. Now, that's easier said. Now you get into specifics. What does that mean? You trade Aaron Judge? Well, no, he's your best player right now. You trade Gary Sanchez? Well, sure. For what? So it gets tricky when we try to get specific.
Andy Martino, SNY, author of the new book, Cheated, Inside Story of the Astros Scandal and Colorful History of Sign Stealing. We will get to the book here in just a few moments. for those who criticize Aaron Boone, is there merit in their criticism?
I think there's fair criticism that you could apply to any manager. I still think I try to be consistent with the way I think about people who I've sort of reported on and formed an opinion on. And, you know, if I thought Aaron Boone was a good manager last year, which I did, or the year before, he's the same person. He's got the same skills. So, yeah, I think he's the right guy. I think that it would behoove the Yankees to give another contract when his is up after the season. I think in New York it can be difficult to do that if you have a really bad year. But, yeah, no, I think he's good. It's not his fault that Jameson Taillon isn't as a pitching as expected, or Montgomery for some reason stays mediocre when he has pretty good stuff, or all these other things that are happening. Stanton can't stay in the lineup. You know, none of those are on Boone to me. And fans argue about the base running and general kind of malaise, but again, what's Aaron Boone supposed to? Gary Sanchez, what is he, 28? He should know that you don't run to third base when the ball's hit to the shortstop if you're on second. This isn't baseball school. It's the big leagues. I don't put that on the manager either.
Agreed on that. Andy, based on the fact that Brian Cashman said, we're going to do everything we can to fix this, will that end up with him going to Hal and asking him to go over the luxury tax threshold?
You know, I believe that when I see it, because so many of the behaviors over the past year have been about staying under. Even the trade for Rougned Odor was like, hey, he's negative money on the salary cap, and I'm calling it salary cap because it pretty much is one, right? Mm. They're treating it as one. Or trading Adam Ottavino so you could pick up a Jay Bruce and a Brett Gardner. There's been so much effort around this salary line that Cashman can ask, but they certainly haven't seemed willing to go over.
All right, Andy, let's flip the script here to the Yankees, or to the Mets for a second. And it's amazing what they have been able to do. But when I look at it, I think the single biggest factor is their depth, and the fact that when you are playing guys who, once your regulars come back, are not going to be out of the big leagues, it makes a huge difference, and they just go back to the bench. What have you seen as the biggest factors in the Mets' success this season?
Yeah, I think you're right. The depth, and their pro scouting department deserves so much credit. Zach Scott, he's auditioning to become the permanent GM. He's running the show in a way that actually we didn't see when Sandy Alderson was the GM. Remember, Sandy was a little bit more slow-moving and conservative. It was like you bring in an Adrian Gonzalez, and you let it ride for a couple of months, or you're not moving the pieces that quickly. But Zach Scott seems to be like, trade for Cameron Maybin. Oh, he's put up an offer, DFA, find another guy. Okay, Billy McKinney, he's good, let him play. There just seems to be a good energy around finding those pieces and trying them and getting rid of them if it doesn't work. So I think and that's on their pro scouts, which is a department run by Bryn Alderson, Sandy's son, and Zach Scott, obviously running baseball ops. And he is running it much more than he was before opening day. You know, there was that period where Sandy Alderson's going to do the negotiating on Lindor and Trevor Bauer and that stuff. But I there's definitely a sense of the reins having been handed over to the new guy and Sandy taking a bit of a step back. And they deserve credit so far. And the manager's really good, too. So the whole package seems to be working.
Andy, when I look at Jacob DeGrom, I wonder if we will be able to fully appreciate and put into context what he is doing right now. When you explore
that. What is he doing right now? I'm talking to you. What is he doing this second? I actually have no idea.
I don't mean tonight. I mean...
Well, at the moment, something's happening. I wonder how it's going.
Yeah, I understand that. But overall, I mean, with a guy with an ERA with a 0.56 coming in, how will we view this season at the end of the year in a historical context, if you had to predict?
Well, doesn't that depend on if he stays healthy, right? There's already been a couple of scares.
Yes,
doesn't it worry you when a guy throws that much velocity and that much spin on his breaking ball and throws a lot of sliders in his last start, and his forearm or his elbow area was barking and you know, there was a bit of a lat issue a couple weeks before that. I look at that like I look at Matt Harvey back when he was throwing high 90s with a low 90s slider. It's like, oh God, don't break. So that's let's get through that and then talk about history.
All right. Well, are you at least enjoying it, Debbie Downer?
Of course, it's very enjoyable. It's domination. I enjoy watching Cole almost as much because there's a pitchability there. So DeGrom, actually a good baseball person who we both know, wasn't talking on the record, so I'll tell you off air who it was, but was like, this isn't really a knock on DeGrom, but it's like he's blowing guys away up in the zone with pure power. It's not, he's kind of isn't displaying that pitchability anymore. He never throws the curveball, rarely throws the changeup. Fastball, slider, two-pitch pitcher. Those two pitches are otherworldly. But Cole actually is like very, it's more intellectual and interesting. Like, oh, why'd he throw that there? So I actually very much appreciate the two aces in New York. I think it's really cool to have two guys who are that dominant, but with styles that different at the same time in New York.
I think it's odd that DJ Carrasco would say that to you. I don't know.
My only source. He's the only source for the book, but you knew that.
Let's talk about the book.
Did you know that DJ, I can't believe I'm interrupting that to talk about DJ Carrasco, but did you know that one time I wrote a story that he was going to possibly get traded when he was in the Mets in spring training. He didn't want to get traded, so he goes for a run outside the complex and comes back, and he's like, oh, my ankle's sore, so the Mets couldn't trade him. And the Mets were so mad at me that I wrote that story. And he came up
no
with story
kidding, really?
Yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Look, as it turned out, we remember what happened to him. He drilled somebody he shouldn't have after he gave up a bomb, and he got cut the next day because the Mets felt like David Wright was about to get hit, and David wanted to go up and take it, but they were not letting him. Terry Collins pinch hit for him at the time.
David Wright, I was told, was madder at DJ Carrasco that night than he's ever been at anybody. But let's talk about cheated, why don't we?
Yeah, let's do that.
That was my
and
fault.
Look, it's funny for somebody who we've established in this interview hates baseball. Why you would want to write this and call it your love letter to baseball, but you have done that. But Andy, when you really dug into this, what was the most fascinating part of it? When not when you were thinking about it in advance, but once you got into it, what was the aha, this is going to be good moment?
The aha was probably when pretty early on I started hearing things about 2018 and 2019 that had nothing to do with garbage cans, had to do with not just the Astros, but other clubs, Brewers, Dodgers, playoff series. It was rampant with crazy cheating allegations the Yankees had towards the end of 2019 that I hadn't heard of. It was like, whoa, the scope of this era is so much bigger and involves so many other teams than I had ever imagined. That was actually when I was like, okay. Because at first, you know, it's like, all right, I just signed a contract to write a book about the Astros. I hope I can pull that off. And then I found out that it was about all of baseball. So it was like, whoa, okay.
Well, the one of the biggest revelations in the book is it continued after 2017, and the Yankees very much thought it was going on in the postseason in 2019. Detail that part of it for us.
Oh, yes. Well, there was the whistling, which, as you know, I reported on at the time, and A.J. Hinch was very upset with me and my story at that time. MLB kind of downplayed it. Well, it turned out that managers had been told that whistling to convey signs, they'd been told that spring that was not okay anymore, it was going to be enforced, and the Astros had the fastball that Tanaka was throwing because Gary Sanchez was tipping it by getting up higher in his crouch. So that was a violation. That's not electronic sign stealing. Sort of if the Yankees weren't mad at the Astros about 3 years of suspicion, maybe that one wasn't as big of a deal. But that was game one. After all that drama about the whistling, the teams get back to Houston for game six, and Yankee officials are in their box, and they see these lights flashing on the scoreboard in a certain pattern. Some of the non-scout types ask the scout types, can you look at that and see if it looks like a pattern of signs? And sure enough, the Yankees really believe that those lights were flashing to indicate certain pitches were coming. They complained to MLB in the middle of the game. An MLB official walks out to the outfield to the scoreboard. Magically, it stops. And this is a month before the Athletic story is written about 2017. So there's most people who work for the Yankees firmly believe that there was plenty going on in 19. You remember when Boone said it, when Boone, that spring training in 2020, was like so mad at the Astros publicly, which was uncharacteristic.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, you're like, Joe Girardi was the manager in 2017. What's Aaron mad about? You know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they really think it went on last year. So yeah, that's, I knew about the whistling, of course, but the scope of that definitely surprised me. The Astros continue to deny it, but that is what it is. And the Rays too. The Rays, before their postseason series with the Astros in 2019, had a whole list of complaints they sent to MLB. It was the first time the buzzers were complained about. That was never proven, but the Rays did complain about it. Complained about all kinds of things. The scoreboard came up in that complaint. So yeah, like you said, just all the way through to 19, there was all this talk.
Andy Martino, author of Cheated, The Inside Story of the Astros Scandal and Colorful History of Sign Stealing. And of course, you know him from SNY covering the Mets and Yankees. With the buzzer, as you're talking about, everybody wants to know, how close did you come to being able to find out whether or not Jose Altuve had something under his shirt?
Look, I think that we know that it's very hard to prove a negative, to say something didn't happen. But I feel like I came pretty close to being able to say, I really don't think he was wearing the buzzer as alleged there. You know, you go where the facts take you. If that had been true, yeah, maybe it would have sold even more books. But it just, there's a lot to suggest that Altuve didn't want the signs going back to 2017. When the trash can would bang during his at-bats, he would glare into the dugout. His teammates would go, oh, whoops, he doesn't want it. There's actually video of this that surfaced last week after my book came out. An Astros fan found a video of Altuve glaring into the dugout, just as described. So it's provable that he didn't want the signs then. And there's no actual evidence of a buzzer at all, period. There's no piece of evidence that says that that's true. And also, when Astros players who I talked to went in to talk to the MLB investigators, they owned up to the trash can. They owned up to the code-breaking video in the video replay room. And when they were asked about the buzzers, they were kind of like, what, huh? And they got the sense that the investigators were kind of fishing on that one. They heard the rumors, too, but didn't really have the goods, wasn't solid. And the players were like, buzzers? No. In fact, Josh Reddick, players have been kind of silent, if not entirely silent, on this since the book came out. But Josh Reddick tweeted today at someone that I was included in the thread because these Astros fans are very aggressive that way. But Reddick was like, vibrating Band-Aids? What a joke or something. And, you know, fair enough, because that's what they said at the time as well.
Right. I don't expect him to own up to it now all of a sudden.
No,
not until he has a book to write.
That's right. No, that's a good point. What if Josh Reddick in a reply tweet was like, yeah, I wore a buzzer. Like, oh, okay. So you're right. You wouldn't expect him to admit it. But I think that reaction of like, a what? Was what they also told the investigators.
All right. So on what's currently going on right now, in the context of all of that, where do you put this? And also, how do you evaluate everything that's going on with baseball going after pitchers now?
I think Tyler Glasnow of the Rays, he made a lot of points yesterday. When not all of them were persuasive, like saying that this new rule got him hurt. But one thing when he was like, look, I'll just say it. I've used sticky stuff. This isn't like some big... I actually kind of think that's true. We had Terry Collins on Baseball Night in New York last night, and he's like, please, this is being overblown. Guys have been using stuff forever. And that doesn't make it right just because guys have been doing it forever. But I just really think that guys applying sticky stuff to balls is performance enhancing. but doesn't rise to the level of scandal of steroids, the sign stealing of the Black Sox. Like, this is a litmus test. I'll ask you this question, Chris, because I think I came up with this in my mind since we've last spoken about this. When you found out that the Astros did what they did in 17, that changes your perception of their championship, obviously. If you found out that the Dodgers won the World Series last year and all their pitchers were using spider tack, would you be like, asterisk, no championship? Would you? Honestly.
Probably not.
Right.
Probably not.
Right.
Yeah.
You found out that Clayton Kershaw and Walker Buehler, and maybe there were, but like, okay, that's what I feel like people would feel.
Yeah, it's not on the same level. It's definitely not, but it is going to be interesting to watch and see how it affects the offense here in the second half. I could spend an hour talking to you about this stuff with this book, and frankly, I already have. Cheated is the inside story of the Astros scandal and colorful history of sign stealing. Father's Day is on Saturday. I don't have children. If I did, I would disown them if they didn't give me this book. That's all I'm going to say.
If you had children, Chris, you would know that Father's Day is on Sunday. But I appreciate the sentiment because it's a great Father's Day gift.
No problem. Well, Andy, it is a great read, and best of luck with it, and we'll have you on again soon. Appreciate it, bud.
Thank you, my friend. Talk to you soon.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.